Today's October 27th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $33,899.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, not much. Just trying to stack them sats.
You know, tomorrow's going to be sat stacking Saturday.
Right. That's, no better day. I mean, that's what the Lord intended. He's called it Saturday.
Saturday. It's the perfect day to stack sats. We might as well just kind of get that out of the way. We've had a crazy week when it comes to Bitcoin price.
Yeah. We kind of called a Bitcoin tsunami in 2024. And it just seems like things are moving that direction now.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your take on it whenever I told you about the price?
Well, I saw earlier that it was up to 30. I was like, nah, that's nice.
Yeah.
But I wasn't paying attention to the news. It was just in the middle of the day, you know, look at it. And then you text me, it's like, it just crossed 34. I was like, what the F?
It went up five. Well, it did basically go up another 5,000 from when you saw it that day. But in just a matter of hours.
Yeah.
Matter of hours. And like, because this has been such a long bear market, I think this is the longest that we've actually had so far in Bitcoin's history. I've seen these types of cycles before where this euphoria, and that I was starting to get that euphoric feeling again, and I was like, oh man, Bitcoin, like I don't want to call, like, maybe I'm in disbelief right now within the market cycle, but I feel like Bitcoin's back.
I totally agree. Well, you know, I felt like this summer was approaching. I knew that somewhere here, it was going to hit. It was going to hit its stride. I mean, do we know for sure that this is it? No, but all the signs are pointing to yes.
Right.
And one of these days, we're going to look it back in time and we're going to be like, you know, at October 2023, we can still have bought Bitcoin for under 40 grand a piece.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, kind of going to our discussion earlier, like, I really think, like, this is where it's becoming, and this may be the last cycle where a lot of people could actually really make a substantial dump into Bitcoin and actually get a decent amount of coin, you know, back. And it's getting harder and harder. Every time these cycles get higher and higher, like, back when we got to 15,000, you know, price earlier this year, because you that's the other thing you got to remember, right? We were at, what, about $15,000 at the beginning of this year. And now we're at...
Yeah, wasn't it closer to 17?
It may have been closer to 17. But I mean, that was like, that was our low, right? I mean, we were in that low doldrums. Like, that was the deep, dead winter of Bitcoin's bear market for this year. So... seeing that we're starting to kind of get back into that bull mode, right? Because we're back above what we were from the previous bull market back in 2017. You know, we crossed that $20,000 threshold, and 30,000 kept us down for a long time, and we just blew right through it like it was nothing. I personally feel like this is some of the last time that you're going to get a chance, and this is by no means this financial advice. But I think this is the last time you're really going to get a chance to kind of stack sats at the price that we're at. You know, I think that coming into the end of this year, I'm not going to say right now, today, but that's what I'm feeling.
I might 100% agree with you. I mean, we're going to look back. I mean, I'd almost want to put something down like, hey, we bought it at what was the price just now? Like 33 something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll just say, hey, we bought, you know, $3,000 worth of Bitcoin. Going forward, we're going to say, you know, as we go further along, it's going to be worth a whole lot more than $3,000 going forward, in my humble opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could even just, let's say, like right now, do you have a pen and paper right now? Jot it down on a note somewhere? Let's come back to that. Let's come back to this in January. We can leave a reminder to ourselves to come back on January 1st or in that time frame, like when we do another episode right at that time at the beginning of the year, and just see where we're at, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Talk about that investment that we made on October 27th and just kind of see how that ended up. Because I really am kind of curious. I mean, because we could have some other events that take place. You know, we talked about black swan type events that happen in the macroeconomic environment. And, you know,
yeah,
maybe like, I mean, we're starting to see Bitcoin's done a lot of what we would want Bitcoin to do. Like when the bank started failing, Bitcoin rallied. You know, you have all these issues with the bonds and interest rates. Bitcoin's rallying right now as opposed to what we would think it would do. And that's the other thing, right? Like the market, the economic state of the United States right now is so shaky. If we go, like if the Fed reduces, here's our tsunami situation, right? Fed cuts interest rates down to zero. You know, injects liquidity into the market.
Basically turns on the printing press.
Yep. BlackRock gets their ETF going. You get the halving in place. Can you imagine?
Oh, no, that would just be insane.
Dude, it'll be like somebody just opened up their Ark of the Covenant in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Faces are going to be melting.
Well, I think a lot of things will be melting down.
No, for sure.
Lots of markets, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, if the Fed does that, like, I mean, if the Fed, like we've talked about that before, I think on the podcast too, like the Fed will take the stairs up, but whenever they drop those interest rates and whenever they, you know, start printing presses, like they take the elevator down, like that's fast. They do it quick. They don't do this slow. Oh, we may cut interest rates a little bit. No, usually whenever they wait for something to break like that, that's what happens is something broke and they've just got to put the Band-Aid back on there or give the hit to the junkie on the street.
Yeah, it's more of a heroin needle than a Band-Aid.
Yeah. Here's your fix. Get on it. So, I mean, and given there's a lot of scary things going on in the world right now, but a big part of what happened on Monday was, and I guess from what I understand, it's been on there for a while. But so we saw a 10% increase in the U.S. markets of Bitcoin's price. And then further, Asia drove it up another 5% later that day. And that's what just kind of drove that rally insane. But a big part of that was that there was a huge speculation that started to get fueled because BlackRock's iShares ETF was listed on a website clearinghouse, DTCC. And it's still on there today. Like it disappeared the following day for a little while, but then it came back up on there. And there's also some ARK investment tickers on there as well. And this is usually when things get listed on this site is right before there's, you know, they're assigned a number and it's part of a clearing process that has to happen for these ETFs. So the BlackRock IBTC ETF appeared on there, and that's going to be their ticker symbol for it is IBTC. So that's what got this frenzy going that day when they saw that.
Yep. Well, and then people realized that BlackRock is actually stacking sats too. So, I mean, when a big player like that gets involved, I mean, a lot of people take notice.
Yeah, and they had to make that declaration to the SEC that they planned on starting to fund their ETF in October. So they started buying already. So, you know, and one thing that I thought was interesting too, because we're not the only country that, you know, there's other countries out there that have a spot Bitcoin ETF. Canada's got one. I know there's some in Europe. Why is it so important that America gets one? And why haven't the other ones moved this market the way that America does?
We're still, I mean, the dollar is still the world reserve currency right now.
Yeah, you know, you nailed it right on the head. It's because we have the liquidity to pump those markets. And I mean, when you see that, what's going to happen? So you think about these investors, right, that work for Fidelity, that work for BlackRock, they get paid their bonuses on what they can earn for commissions, like based off, you know, what their money markets do, like what their accounts do, right?
Right.
If they pump if they pump pension plans into Bitcoin, they start pumping like 1 to 5% allocations of people's wealth into Bitcoin. You know, it's like a $27 trillion market that if it gets 5% of that market share, man, it's going to be nuts.
Honestly, only 1% of that market share is going to be huge.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, it's terrifying to think about. There is so much, like, I have an issue with a lot of BlackRock and stuff like that just because they're so big and so powerful. But
and so evil. Let's not forget that.
And so evil. We're going to see a big benefit from this. And especially because you're going to see something that we haven't seen for Bitcoin ever. Because you're going to see advertising for these IBTC and other spot Bitcoin ETFs. You're going to see marketing for it. Like, right. I've seen crypto marketing, right? Like crypto.com, blah, 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 blah. But when you see Fidelity being like, we can bring you the most sound asset that money can buy. Join our Bitcoin ETF. You know, we didn't have marketing before. We had crypto marketing in a lot of ways, but we didn't have this kind of marketing.
Well, specifically for Bitcoin, you're correct.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was one of the big things that happened early on Monday. And it gave me the butterflies and that FOMO feeling again that I had not felt in a long time. So I was excited to have it, you know, kind of start to come back. I had to remind myself because I bought some more Bitcoin that day. I was like, I got to buy. But I was like, calm down. I was like, you know what this is like. Like, you will see retracements. You will see the pullback. Like, all that stuff will happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've been through several seasons of Bitcoin bulls and bears. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you've kind of, this is the same old song and dance you've seen multiple times.
It is, but it's still exhilarating and it still does not prevent me from getting the FOMO. And the FOMO, like, it's really bad for like the first, I'd say the first 6 to 12 hours once it all kind of starts. Because I know, like, I mean, obviously I don't think we're quite there yet, but I mean, pretty soon sub $40,000 Bitcoin, like we said in the beginning, it's going to become something that you're not going to see again forever, probably. And that's not financial advice. That's just what my personal experience with this. You know, I was surprised when we retraced to $15,000-$17,000, but considering 2017, we went up to about 20,000. We drew back down to 3,000. We went back up to what, 69,000? Nice. Then we came back down. We went back down to 17, which were 15, 17 in that range. Having said that, like, I didn't expect us to go back below 20. So now with this next market pump, if we get up to, you know, the six-figure mark, even if it's low six figures, I don't expect this to go back down below, say, $60,000 or maybe $50,000.
Right. We were kind of talking about this before the show is like 3 years ago, October 2020,
mm-hmm.
early October.
Yeah.
We crossed the $10,000 mark and we've not gotten anywhere close to that.
Right.
I mean, 17,000 is quite a far cry from 10.
Yeah.
And we're going to, I think in October, you know, going forward from October 2023 with Bitcoin at $33,000, I'm going to put my reputation on it that we're never going to look back, or we're going to look back and say, you know, we could have had it at that price and it's just, that's gone forever.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, we kind of talked about it beforehand. Like, I really do think we're close to pricing out a lot of people out of the market, like to being able to get one whole Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, that's going forward. I think at a certain point, like the middle class, all they can hope for is 0.1 Bitcoin here pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even that's going to be a good chunk of their liquidity, especially in today's market, today's economy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what kind of professional gaslighting we're getting from the federal government on inflation and, you know, jobs and whatever else. Things are rough.
Yeah. No, they absolutely are. And they're only going to get rougher, I think. But I mean, you know, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see how some of this plays out. I am excited. Don't get me wrong. And I got to be careful with that because I get FOMO like crazy. Like I start to get really, like I'll get anxiety about it.
Let's spell out what FOMO is for those who don't know.
Fear of missing out is what FOMO means. And it's such a cheesy thing, but basically it's, you start to feel that anxious feeling. And so that's one thing, like for those listening that maybe this is your first bull cycle. Maybe you haven't gone through one before, or maybe you got in at the end of the last bull cycle and you've been holding on since Bitcoin went from $69,000 down to now. You will get a chance to reclaim your money. You're going to feel that FOMO. You're going to feel that emotional response, right?
Right.
And it's a gleeful, it's ecstasy, you know, it's ecstasy. It's a joyous feeling where you're like, oh man. And you're going to feel like you're so damn smart. And pretty soon here, if the bull market really kicks off, it doesn't matter what you buy within the crypto space. You could be buying junk, absolute junk. But because the market's going so haywire, people are just putting money into whatever. And you're going to just feel like you're the smartest person in the world. But be careful because that stuff will bite you in the butt later.
So. Absolutely. There's a lot of stupid money going into crypto. So we're not just being completely crazy about that. We've seen it happen before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see it happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and since we talked about that almost the whole time of what our normal episode lengths are, we'll go into some of the other stuff that we had here. So just out of the Fed's early meeting report for, you know, October going into November, they are declaring they're not going to raise interest rates this session. So yeah. that was kind of important to bring up.
And I mean, they did promise us at one point that they were going to raise interest rates one more time this year.
Yep.
So they still have December to raise interest rates and then completely lance that zit that is our economy.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got, basically they'll have another meeting within 6 weeks. I think this one is officially done. November 1st is when this is finished up. So they'll have another opportunity within 6 weeks. So right around the middle of December, and they could decide to raise rates one more time. But right now they're just letting things be, kind of seeing how things play out. And I think a lot of that could be, you know, part of the bond markets and those types of things. You know, interest rates are just so high, even for the federal government. You know, we've got that crazy interest rate that keeps on coming through, or interest payments that are required for our debt. So
right.
Keep an eye on that.
Well, I do want to mention one thing with this before you move on. It's kind of a backwards thing. You know, the Federal Reserve is trying to crush spending by increasing inflation, but that just affects our debt payments because the interest rate on our $33 trillion in debt just goes up. And the more we do that, that means the more the money the government has to print in order to stay, not necessarily solvent, because they're not bringing in as much tax money. They're spending money like crazy, but more and more money is going towards that servicing that debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the further out that gets and the higher the interest gets, that means they have to print more money to pay that, service that debt, which means that they're creating inflation in that round.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and they haven't stopped. They're still spending like crazy. They can't bring in a balanced budget.
No, I think our budget this year is even crazier than last year. Like, we're even $1 trillion more in debt this time, this year, compared to last year.
So side thing real quick. Sorry, no, I didn't want to take you completely off course of what you're saying, but have you seen what the housing market's doing?
I haven't.
It's up 12.3%. Who's buying homes?
I don't know. Well, here's this side story, kind of in that. Well, my parents are listing their house in Texas, and they're saying that over a certain threshold of money that you have it listed as, people are not buying. it's like under 80,000 that people are looking at.
Really?
Yep.
So people are selling at a loss, basically, but they're still selling.
Well, some people might be selling at a loss, but if you don't have it, yeah, that's basically how you're looking at it. If you're wanting to get out of that housing market, you're going to take a huge loss.
Dang.
Depending on how bad it is. So things might be turning around on that. So,
yeah, they said that we'll basically see. For the month of September, 12.3%. And it's the highest it's been since February of 2022. So I was just like, that is insane.
Well, and I got to reiterate what I said earlier. I think if you're getting numbers from the government, they're just gaslighting us anymore. I mean, I've been calling BS for a long time, but now I'm just saying they're full-on psychopathic liars. Because I don't believe anything that's coming from the government statistics, if that's where you're getting it from.
Yeah, I had heard it the other day, and I just thought I'd bring it up real quick. So, last thing I wanted to close this out on, I mean, I know we've been pretty hypey already, but this is from a report saying Bitcoin is primed for a supply shock as exchange balances drops to 5-year low, says an analyst. I mean, basically, one of the big things is that the data shows that the liquid tokens right now on the market is 2.3 million Bitcoins that are available, which is the lowest reading it's had since April of 2018, which was right after the last bull market, or well, mm-hmm. two bull markets previous, or one bull market previous. So,
yeah. And that bull market peaked in like December 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's the lowest liquid amount of Bitcoin that's available.
That's the last time it was that liquid. No, and so or that low of availability on Bitcoin. So here's the thing, though, too. We've had a lot more Bitcoin printed since then, too, right?
There's been a fair bit more.
A fair amount more, yeah. Because, I mean, that's been 5 years, basically, in the, you know, obviously, we had a halving between there, too, but that's still quite a bit of Bitcoin now that's come out since then, and we've got it. We have that kind of record lows again, so that's going to be even fewer Bitcoin available once this bull market kicks off. And that's there's still roughly 3 million Bitcoin that haven't moved in 10 years, those long-term holders.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, that's the whole deal. It ties back into what we're saying, you know, the spot ETF for Bitcoin. I mean, and then the halving coming up in another, you know, 5 months roughly. I mean, that's a recipe for a real scarcity shock.
Yeah. Yep. Supply shock may happen. We, you know, we're going to see a lot of people starting to come for that money. And I mean, and they're, the people are going to sell their Bitcoin, but they're going to have to pay, you know, I mean, they're going to make those big time players pay to get their Bitcoin. But you got to remember, like, it's the hardest asset there's going to be here pretty soon. Like, that stock, the flow is going to change drastically as soon as this next halving goes through. It's going to start to become like real estate type kind of stock, the flow. So, yeah. Anyways, man, was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think you guys got the drift that I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. I'm glad I could kind of temper my feeling, you know, but do keep an eye out. We still have newsletters coming. We still are in the process of working on some merchandise. And right now we still have the two affiliate links on our website to get Elipal, or you can get the Ledger wallet. And it helps us out a little bit if you do that way. So,
absolutely.
Cool. Well,
not your cheese, not your crypto.
Good reminder. We'll see y'all soon.
Bye.